This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. And coming up later in the show, would you like to help colonize Mars? Would you make that trip? Apparently, lots of people are applying for the chance to do so. Right now, we're talking about Cincinnati Innovates. It's a competition that looks for the best ideas from people in greater Cincinnati and helps them get started with those ideas. Elizabeth Edwards is the founder. Eileen Weisenbach-Keller is an associate professor of marketing at NKU and the director of the Fifth Third Bank Entrepreneurship Institute. And Zach Green's a past winner of Cincinnati Innovates and the founder of MN8 Foxfire. You can join the conversation at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Eileen, what do you think the state of innovation is in Cincinnati? Have we got some pretty ingenious people around here from what you see?
Absolutely. As I said earlier, I am constantly being questioned about how do I bring my idea forward. And I think that the more those folks are talking about their ideas and become aware of things like Cincinnati Innovates, the more they infect other people and encourage other people with that courage to go forward and pursue it. We are in a state of growth with regard to innovation and entrepreneurship here.
Elizabeth, how many people have participated in the competition since it started?
Well, we have had over 400, I guess we're up to 500 people participate over the course of the last few years. Is that right? I'm adding that wrong. 1,200 over the past 4 years. We had 165
wow.
this year. Yeah. So I need to focus on addition here. Yeah, it adds up. We've had over 150,000 votes online also. And those come from all kinds of not just Cincinnati, but, you know, we see votes come as far as India. So it's interesting to see how many people, not just in greater Cincinnati, but across the world, pay attention to these kinds of things. Because you can imagine that when people are searching for things online, photoluminescent firefighter equipment. That's probably a pretty unique search term.
Back hair removal.
Right. Yeah. So we see a lot of traffic and we see a lot of great comments too. That was something that we added. It's a very interactive site. People can converse via Facebook about the different ideas. And I'd encourage you to go and check out some of the people that have entered this year. Some really interesting ones. One that I really like, I was just looking at today, it's called Map Swing. And if you're a golfer, this is one of those high-tech apps that you might want to check out. But it makes practice at the driving range more fun and more productive. So it's an iPad app that you take to the driving range to check out how your swing or how your drives are trending over time. Are your practices getting better? Are you getting worse? And what might be some problems that you could address with your golf pro? So,
you know, that's interesting because in May we held a competition for high school students who are innovators and they want to be entrepreneurs. And one of the groups that came through very successfully was a similar product. And
yeah.
I don't know if it's the same group of kids that applied for you or not, but we're so, Mark, to your question also, we're starting them out very young. You know, we have high school freshmen that are coming in and competing in innovative contests. And so
yeah.
It's interesting that you've seen that come through
yeah.
in the competition as well.
We have a phone call, Paul from Mason. Let's talk to Paul. Paul, how are you doing today?
Good, yourself?
Very good, thank you. And what's your comment?
Well, I actually have been working on a product for several years. I've prototyped it. I'm in the process of developing a website for it. Plan on taking it to market. And in the process, I came across Elizabeth's book, Startup. And I read it, and it's very informative, and I thank you very much for that. And somehow I got on the email list about the contest. And I've been receiving it for several years, and every time I see the email come across, it's I've wanted to enter, but I've been a little leery about doing that. A little worried about maybe somebody stealing my idea before I had a chance to completely develop it.
Yeah.
You know, the old no free lunch thing where, okay, what's in it for the people that are putting this on? So I was wondering if you could address those issues.
Yeah. So, I guess what's in it for the sponsors is that all of these are organizations that their purpose is to support entrepreneurship. So it furthers their mission. When you look at organizations like Cincy Tech, Cincy Tech exists. They're funded by the state of Ohio to help entrepreneurs secure funding, find mentors, and build their companies from that startup phase, you know, into commercialized products. So a lot of the other sponsors, and you should check them out online, LPK, Taft, Children's Hospital, a lot of those organizations, their mission is not to necessarily help entrepreneurs, but that's what they do. LPK, you know, great design firm, Taft, a local law firm here. And Taft helps people patent their ideas. They help them form their corporations and raise capital. So the sponsors are donating their awards, and that's part of their give back to the community. But I think it's really good that you're asking this question, because it gets into, on the one hand, intellectual property. Am I giving my idea away? And absolutely not. If you read the rules, we're pretty explicit about that. The sponsors don't have any right to your intellectual property. If you win, we get to include you in our press releases. That's about it.
And Elizabeth, I'd like to address this, because I hear this question a lot from some of my fellow entrepreneurs. We get so wrapped up with our content, and we lose fact of the real importance thing here. And in all honesty, and I don't mean to be insulting to anybody, your idea is not what makes you successful. What makes you successful is how you grow that idea, how you market that idea, and how you differentiate yourself from everybody else. There was an amazing lecture by Michael Dell where he talked about three C's that companies work on. The first C is the content. So obviously you're very sensitive about your content being stolen. And that is legitimate, but for the most part, it's not something you really have to spend that much time worrying about. The next C the companies focus on is commerce. How do we sell what we sell? And again, that's something where it can get competition, and eventually your product could almost become a commodity where someone makes it cheaper, faster, better. But the companies that see true success and true growth are the ones that focus on that third C, and that third C is the community. Build that community around your product, around the way you sell that product. And what's such an advantage to our young kids that are in high school and in college today is their community is so much bigger than our community is. It's called Facebook. It's called Twitter. It's called YouTube, social media. And the companies that are the most successful, the ones that can build those communities around that brand, around that product, and grow it. Don't worry about someone stealing your idea. Worry about how you're going to grow that idea and get as many people to benefit from that idea.
And Paul, thank you very much for your comment. We appreciate it. And if you've got questions or comments, you can call 513-419-7100. We have a phone call from Dale and Amelia. Dale, how are you today?
Doing fine. Doing fine. I was driving, so I had to hurry up and get home so I could talk.
Very good.
I was curious. I know that you help the winners, but I was curious, those people who don't win, do you help them in some way, or is there a fee for them to be part of this?
There is no fee to enter, and we do have workshops, intellectual property, branding, financing. All of those are very popular, and we add more every year. And what I would say is I wish I had more awards than just 10, because there are definitely more than 10 winners every year. And we've had people enter several years in a row until, you know, finally that product has, you know, developed to the point where they've put a brand or a name around it that makes sense. And that's really the linchpin that, wow, now the judges really get it. There's the value proposition. Ah, I see what this is all about. Because before, I didn't know what it really meant to have photoluminescent, you know, firefighting products or industrial safety. But wow, now I get the market. Oh my God, you could put this stuff on anything. So sometimes, you know, it takes us a while to get it. But when we do, yeah, we can help you out. No fee to enter, and there are a ton, and I hope you also join our mailing list. We send out anytime there's, you know, something new coming up in entrepreneurship in the community, we try and highlight that. So it's just another great connection point.
It's what Zach was talking about. Those who aren't in the top 10, they now have started to build a community, probably with a slew of individuals and organizations whom they may not have been aware of at all prior to that. So the win is in the participation for all of those folks.
I think
idea isn't such a great one like that. But it's just enough idea that I don't want to share with anybody because I'm afraid somebody else will say, oh, that's a good idea. I'll do it.
That's a common fear, yes.
Yeah.
Trying to figure out how to get to the point where I know who to contact to help make this particular product.
Yeah.
And again, if you look at Foxfire, what I did, I didn't invent this technology. The technology has been out for 20 years. What I did is I focused on the brand. I focused on building this through the firefighters and then ultimately using those firefighters to sell this to industrial safety. That is where real success is. The reality is your idea may not be that new. Someone else may have already done that idea, but what you can do
– I was wondering how you find that out.
Mm-hmm. Well, what you can do is not so focus. Worry about that. You're worrying about someone else. Worry about yourself and worry about how you're going to grow this and make that value proposition bigger than anybody else's.
And just some resources that I would tick off, you know, to since iInnovates is not going to come around again until next May, the competition just closed. But in the meantime, check out Cincy Tech. They're one of the main sponsors of the competition. Cincy Tech is focused on medical devices, IT and digital media, mobile solutions, also advanced manufacturing. So they're right, downtown. They're somewhere to go. Queen City Angels, that's another group. And all of these groups, you can go and talk to them. They're not going to charge you to talk to them. Hamilton County Business Center, you can make an appointment there, show up. They have workshops as well where you can talk to people who have built companies, sold companies, people who have been mentoring small businesses for years and years who can point you in different directions. So if you don't know if someone's already doing this, they can give you five different ways to find that out.
Dale, thank you very much for your phone call. We appreciate it. And real quickly, Elizabeth, when is the announcement of the winners for this year? When is that coming up?
It's August 22nd. At NKU at the Digitorium, which is such a cool space if you've never been there. So we will announce the award winners there live.
And it is a spectacular event. Really, all the award winners do a great job of representing what they've done, and it's so exciting. The energy is incredible.
Well, thanks for joining me this afternoon, all of you. And Elizabeth Edwards, founder of Cincinnati Innovates, Eileen Weisenbach-Keller, associate professor of marketing at NKU and director of the Fifth Third Bank Entrepreneurship Institute, and Zach Green, president and founder of MN8 Foxfire. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mark.
Ten years from now, a crew of four people may be just getting used to the red planet. Eventually, up to 40 people could populate a colony on Mars. Would you go? WVXU's Ann Thompson and Focus on Technology reports on who's in the running, how people will be picked, and what they will do once they get there.
Mars. From now on, we won't just be visiting planets. We'll be staying.
This Mars One video is having no problems enticing thousands of people to populate the red planet. 78,000 people filled out online applications just 2 weeks after Mars One had its April 22nd launch. The project is the brainchild of Arno Wilders, a planetary scientist, and Boz Landorp, who is handling the financing. So why would anyone want to go and stay? Physiological changes in the human body after a stay on Mars prevent anyone from coming back. Mars One, Ajma Dogra, reached in India, says, why not?
It's a logical next step for us. And, this kind of exploring and spreading out is what humans have always done. So it's really no surprise. Not doing it would be odd.
The requirements are pretty simple. You have to be at least 18, stand between 5'2 and 6'3, be free of disease, and have the five key characteristics of an astronaut: resiliency, adaptability, curiosity, ability to trust, and creativity. Mars One will narrow down the list to 40 people or less in four steps: an online application with a one-minute video, 300 regions will select people, there will be a national narrowing down with a reality TV show, and then the world will pick. Candidates come from 120 countries. Most are from the U.S. Here are parts of four videos so you can hear why Randy, Catherine, William, and Rosalie say they are interested in settling on Mars.
Why do I want to go to Mars? Well, I mean, who wouldn't? After launch, it's going to be the hardest life imaginable. But the rewards are going to be incredible. I mean, you'll be a pioneer. Your name will be down in history books for eternity, but people like Samuel de Champlain, Christopher Columbus, Americus Vespucci.
The reason I know that I want to go to Mars is because every night when I look out at the stars and see them and dream about them, I want to go to another planet. I want to see another planet somewhere far away from here, even, you know, galaxies away, light years away, where I could stand on the surface of another planet and see a different sunset from another planet's sky.
Hi, my name is William. I'm 32. I have a computer repair degree from Job Corps. I would like to go to Mars because I love space, I love the stars, I love science fiction, I love exploration. It's something I've always wanted to do since I was a tiny tot.
Hi, my name is Rosalie Kogan. I'm 21 years old and I'm studying medicine in Israel. As we live in a world with a finite set of resources, this planet will only sustain us for so long. In the grand scheme of things, this mission is one of the most important undertakings for all of humankind, and possibly other species as well. Aside from that, even if we never get a discrete benefit out of going to Mars, I think even trying to do it for the sake of doing it is worth it, as an intellectual exercise in our collective human abilities.
Rosalie says, give me the cramped spaces and the gross astronaut food. The people picked will immediately begin preparing for their new life.
And all of these people will go into full-time training, and they will be immediately put into teams. So we'll have 6 to 10 teams of four, and they will train for 7 years as teams, because that is the most important criteria for this, that you have to be a team player.
Boz Lansdorp and the video lay out the timeline.
This is the plan. In 2016, a communication satellite and a supply mission will be sent to Mars. In 2018, a large planetary rover will be sent to Mars. It will drive around on Mars to find the best location for the settlement.
In 2020, living units, life support units, a rover, and more supplies will be sent to Mars. The rovers will prepare the settlement for human arrival. They will extract the inflatable section from the living unit. The life support unit will prepare the outpost for arrival of the humans.
What will they do when they get there?
Most of their time and even their lifetime will go in setting up the colony for future humans. So mostly they will spend their time farming and also doing some construction work. And then also there's this really important part of their time will be spent in exploring, doing some experiments, and answering many scientific questions that we've been wondering about for years but haven't been able to find them because we haven't been able to put a man on Mars.
Many people wonder why now, and Mars One has an answer.
Mars One has designed a mission that is much simpler than previous designs for Mars missions. The most significant simplification is that the crew is actually going to stay and live on Mars with the intention to remain there for the rest of their lives.
And in case you think this mission is all hype and no science, think again. Mars One says it has letters from private space companies all over the world offering to build the parts it will take.
We visited a lot of private space industries and companies and asked them if they can provide this component that we need, say the life support unit, in this much time for this much money, and hopefully things will all be orchestrated together and we'll have a permanent colony on Mars.
The first Mars One crew will depart in September of 2022 and arrive 7 months later in April of 2023. For Cincinnati Edition, I'm Ann Thompson.
After the break, we continue our discussion about humans living on Mars. We'd like to hear your comments. Will this really work, or is it just a flight of fancy? Would you make the trip? Call us with your comments and questions at 513-419-7100. Email talk@wvxu.org or find us on Facebook or Twitter. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.